Imagine knowing exactly what your students are learning and exactly which steps you need to take next.
Join us in Download the Reading Quiz to craft meaningful and productive formative assessments that move away from gotcha moments of basic recall and toward assessing what your students actually can do.
In this 30-minute free masterclass, we'll share three powerful assessment keys that work for any novel at any time of the year.
Head to shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to sign up, and we'll also send you a free workbook to keep track of all your notes.
Once again, that's shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to nail formative assessments forever.
Well, hello and welcome back to Brave New Teaching. Hi, Amanda.
Hey, everybody. Hi, Marie.
Hello, friends.
How's it going?
It has been a hot minute since we came in with like a purely essential question-based episode. And what better time than National Poetry Month? We've been hitting poetry hard this April, I'll tell you what.
As it deserves.
Something I always neglect in my classroom. So why not do it here? You know, like here we are. Just keep poetry all around you.
We need to add it to the playlist. We need to add it to the playlist.
Add it to the playlist on the YouTubes. If you missed our roundup episode last week, we had a poetry roundup episode where we had some of our, if you missed it, we had some of our like best tips from some of our previous poetry, like just about teaching poetry, bringing it into your classroom, etc. And we now have our YouTube channel up and running where all episodes of the podcast have been uploaded there. And we're even creating playlists. And one of the first ones that's ready is this poetry one where you can like actually access the category of information you're looking for, and you don't have to just like search around and have 18 million tabs open, unless you're into that, which like I am, but you know what I mean.
I mean a little bit.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about some essential questions for teaching a unit that uses poetry.
But don't click away or fast forward. If you're like, I'm not teaching poetry, don't even. Like, listen.
We still have some really just juicy questions. Yes.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like when we talk through EQs and how to use them, you're going to learn a lot, whether or not you're doing them for poetry. So trust me, insight abounds.
Well, and these are also episodes that are particularly useful for even our non-English language arts friends who are in different subject areas, or maybe, you know, like maybe you've got an ELA credential, but you're teaching an elective. Just like Amanda was saying, hearing us talk and think through how to apply inquiry and how to just kind of navigate an essential question will help get your brain going, whether it's poetry or literature or not. So yeah, we've got three that have like, this is their foray into the world and they are juicy and complex. So here we go. Cue the music.
You're listening to Brave New Teaching, and we are so much more than a podcast.
We give teachers the inspiration, support, and tools to challenge the status quo.
I'm Amanda, and I'm a former English teacher from Illinois.
And I'm Marie, and I'm a teacher from Southern California.
Join us at bravenewteaching.com to find out more about our courses, festivals, and get every episode's show notes.
We're so glad you're here. Enjoy the show. Trying to rack my brain for some of our former, I guess you're just going to have to listen back to that roundup episode to find where some of our other essential questions we've talked about have been specific to poetry. But I'm excited about these ones. I like the idea that all of the questions that we have today are looking at like the most, I don't know, powerful, I guess, form of literature and writing, which is like a potent, if you will, is poetry. Like it's just jam-packed with meaning and all sorts of different things in as few words as possible sometimes. And I think that that's what makes poetry so intriguing for me specifically. And once you get students into it, like you can go a lot of places talking about poetry.
Well, and one of the things I think that's really hard about writing essential questions is knowing where to start. You know, yes. Do I start with the genre? Do I start with the themes that are in the text? Do I start with a skill? Like, the answer is it's always different, right?
Yeah,
like, that answer is not, there's not a fixed answer for that. There can't be. What matters to me is giving you some ways to think through it until you get to what you want. Yeah. It's a process. It's a collaborative process. And it's one that we do talk about in our poetry and creative writing workshop. Marie and I have done a professional development workshop on this exact topic and how to build out these units. We've talked a lot about whether or not you want to be building out a poetry only unit, or you want to be dripping poetry throughout the year. So you really want to make sure that if this episode is just getting you excited, to take advantage of that workshop and have that at your disposal whenever you need it. So there are lots of ways to access it. Just go head over to our shop. We'll link everything in the show notes. But taking that workshop in its entirety will change the way that you teach poetry, hands down.
Absolutely. And just think about how to incorporate different types of text into your classroom, not just poetry, but like it's kind of it's at the forefront, right? Do you want to start with the first EQ? Because I feel like this is a very Amanda, these are all three very Amanda EQs. But this first one, I think what I love about the first one before you even say it is that there's a lot of conversation surrounding those of us who are involved with children, whether we're teaching them or we have our own that we are, you know, actively raising, and talking about trauma and trauma cycles and healing. And because that's just life, right? Like life is full of great things and also traumatic things from which we need to heal. So I think that this question could be, I can already see it working so well in like my world literature class. I love it. Go, Amanda, go.
So here's kind of where I started with these EQs is as I thought about, like, I've coached a lot of teachers through the process of writing an EQ for a poetry unit. And I think what I see the most often is teachers feeling compelled to use the word poetry or use the word words, language, like using that as part of the question. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it works wonderfully. And sometimes it's great. But a lot of times the questions can feel a little bit forced or even a little stilted, because the gem of an essential question is it's a question that kids would kind of ask themselves or each other organically. Now, maybe we're going to write it in a more elevated way than kids would actually ask themselves or each other about it. But most kids aren't going to be like, so which is more powerful, poems or prose? And there's nothing wrong with asking that question. It's a brilliant question. But it might not hit with a certain set of kids the way that it would hit with a different set of kids, right? So I'm just trying to give you some options. So what I did was I thought about what are the contents and what are the themes that I see the most frequently in poems that I love to teach. And if I were to create a unit around something thematic that's also poetry, what could those questions look like? So this is a combination of, it's really theme on the surface, but we're going to deliver this theme through poetry without having to say that in the question. Does that make sense, Marie? Am I talking like?
No, okay. That makes sense. Yes.
Okay. So the first question, all that, I just wanted to give a little precursor. So the first question that I wrote, really my first thought was, I think that my question that I ask, to what extent do trauma, tragedy, and adversity help us find resilience? I feel like that question we've talked about a lot with lit circles and whole class novels, that works very well by itself. But another version of that would be, I was kind of dancing between the word brokenness and the word healing. Like, so much poetry is about brokenness and about healing, or the process of writing and making the poem is about healing. And so I wrote a draft, and now this plays, I would love to workshop it a little bit, but I wrote, which is more capable of healing, right? Healing, you could say, healing yourself, healing your soul, but then I don't know. Okay, which is more capable of healing, the physical world or the linguistic one? So do we heal better from like physical ways, like, you know, actual things, right? An ice pack, a Band-Aid, right? Like these like literal tangible things.
Yeah, but there's also like nature.
Yes.
I mean, so tangible. Like that's kind of where I took it. Yes, but like being in the environment versus talking about the environment.
versus talking about it. And I love this question. I love the potential of this question.
Yes, I do too.
It's an early stage.
I don't know that I would change it that much. I think that it is definitely not one that you could do. I couldn't see myself bringing this into, honestly, I think my 11th graders would have a hard time. Like, we would have to do some deep scaffolding. This would be an end of the year, not an end of the unit, not even an end of the term, end of the year question where we have been building to it all the way through because it's so nuanced and layered. I wouldn't change it, actually.
I think it works really well, too, if your poetry unit is going to incorporate music.
Yes. Okay, maybe I would change it. Maybe I would swap out the word linguistic for, like, the physical world or the ideological world. Or, you know what I mean? Okay. Or, like, it would be something like ideas or reality.
Yeah, yeah. I like that, too. I like that, too. It's
sips coffee and thinks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The golden ticket is when you decide on something and you try it with kids. That's how you're going to know. Yeah. I don't know about physical world. I just didn't want, to oversimplify it either. So anyway, that's the idea. Right. And like, but the idea that hopefully the gist that you can take from this very messy draft is like, number one, we all have messy drafts and that's super cool. And then number two, we can write an EQ about poetry without having to write it about poetry.
Yes.
Right? Like, this entire unit can be only music and poetry, but we didn't need to say it in the EQ. And that's fine. That's great, actually. Well, I think it makes it more real.
Kind of the best way to do it, right? Like,
I think so.
It's the same sort of thing. Like, when we're looking at novels, we're not saying, how does a novel make you think about relationships?
Correct. But for whatever reason, we feel compelled to do it with a poetry unit. With any unit that's not like a mainstream unit, I feel like we have this, I'm speaking from my own experience, have an impulse to do that, like to differentiate it that way, which is like, I don't.
Yeah. No, you can say we. It's us. It's we.
I don't have to do that. Okay.
I so like that one. Okay, wait. Which is more capable of healing, the physical world or the linguist? I really like it. I think I just like how much room there is to like explore so many different things. And this is not, like you were saying, it lends itself perfectly to poetry, but it is not stuck there.
Right.
I love it.
I love the thought of like how people will for the physical world too. I had also this thought of how people will confront something from their past. Like, they will go somewhere, like they need movement. I don't know if you have ever watched the show. Have you ever watched Loudermilk on Netflix?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You might love it. But like, one of the things that this guy needs to do is like, his ex-wife is getting married and he needs to go to the wedding. Like, he needs to witness this event to feel like, okay, I see that she's moved on and now I can also move on. Of course, it's like, it's a comedy. So like, a lot of things go wrong.
But like, this question, I mean, this makes me think of, this also brings up the idea of like, why do people visit graves?
Yes.
Right? Why do they go to church, like physically to the place in order to do the act? Why, you know, so like, it's very much, and then it brings up the idea that something like church or like, you know, any different version of quote unquote going to church, where you are going to a place, gathering with others or not gathering with others, and going through a certain set of words, that combination of physical and language. I'm all in.
Well, and I think what's really cool about it, and the other questions do similar things that we're going to talk about today. The SEL component is undeniable without having, so like, some places SEL is still a dirty word for, we don't need to get into that. That makes me want to cry. But like, the social emotional component of this unit is, whether it's explicit or not, students are accessing multiple ways for themselves to figure out what would work for them. And
by witnessing others. Exactly. Yes.
And the capable of healing. I like that because they're both ways on that whole spectrum. And I think that the answer is, you need to do the work to figure out what heals you. And I don't think I was ever mature enough to think about that as a high schooler, but like, you can see it, but like, to think for yourself, like, what do I need to do? And you now have access to all of these potential ways that other people have done it that you can start to explore for yourself as you learn to heal yourself. Like, some people are really, you know, really want to go to therapy. Others would rather do something else more like in solitude or right.
Go on a hike. Yeah, exactly.
It opens up that conversation without having to, it's already tied into the literature. It's already tied into the skill work that you're doing in the poems. It also opens up for poetry. It opens up a wide range of poems. Like you're not only going to be stuck in spoken word for this. This is right. something that you're going to be able to go all the way into like much, much, much older poetry too, which then makes that poetry more accessible because you've already narrowed down the lens that you're viewing it with, right? You're looking at how does this poem helping William Shakespeare heal his heartbreak, right?
Oh, poor Willie.
Did you know that Brave New Teaching now has a YouTube channel? We are so excited that finally YouTube has gotten on board with podcasting. We're not going anywhere, you guys. Don't worry. We're going to be here. We're going to be in your podcast app forever and ever. However, we're also going to be on YouTube. So this means that all of the episodes that are coming up here through Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening, they're also going to come through regularly on our YouTube channel. And what that does for us and for listeners is gives us the ability to create playlists. And that's a really exciting PD opportunity for us and for you. And so we would love to know, especially listeners who have been here for a little while, send us a note and let us know what kind of playlists we could curate for you. We are getting to the point where our episode totals are over 200 episodes when you combine everything from our mini episodes, our happy hour episodes. We have been podcasting for a long time, and it's pretty difficult to scroll through and find all the things and all the different topics. So is there a topic, a really easy kind of category that you would like us to use to categorize and organize some listening playlists for you? And then we can go through on YouTube and actually create those playlists and make things easier for you when you really want to listen back to something in particular. So we have some episodes that are in a series, like our discussion series. We have our independent reading series. We've got a couple of things that are already set up that way. However, I know that you would love to have different options and different mixes and matches and categories of episodes to listen to. So please send us an email, let us know, or leave us a review on Apple iTunes telling us how much you love the show and what else you want to see. And we will be sure to make that happen. We are so pumped to see what this new avenue can bring to, in terms of the show and can offer to your schools, your department chairs, even like your summertime PD, you know, what can we make for you using the podcast episodes that already exist to enhance your teaching and make your classroom experiences that much better, that much more efficient and enjoyable and easier, of course. So bravenewteaching@gmail.com is where you can reach us. We would love to know your ideas and thoughts always, but especially about our YouTube channel and how it can best serve you. All right, back to the show.
All right, jumping back into these essential question ideas for poetry, the next one does kind of go hand in hand with the first one that you had talked about, talking about the physical world, linguistic world, or like the natural world versus the ideological world, or like the, you know, philosophical world or something like that. I want you to read the next one. I'm going to make you read all three of them.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And I can talk about a little bit about like the shift in the writing of the question. So the question reads like this: how does our perception of nature influence our understanding of ourselves and our place in the world? And so while related to the first one, the thoughts about the unit that I had in mind that I was trying to capture was more like a genre-based poetry study. Like we're going to look at the naturalists. We're going to look at specifically poetry that comments on and deals with nature, because I know there are a lot of American lit courses that do things like this. They're transcendentalism and like things like that. So, and how fun would it be to do a nature poetry unit?
Well, and I mean, going back to, so where Amanda's initial thoughts, you all listeners, you can all hear, go straight to poetry. Mine go to other alternative texts, like film, like music, like I could just see paintings. Like, yes. I can just see poetry and paintings side by side doing like a close read analysis. On one side, it's a poem. And on the other side, it's a painting of the subject of the poem. And then
in your class. Yes.
How freaking cool. And then the kids come out of there like going, we should all be wearing like, you know, cropped skinny black pants and like a beret and just snapping all the time and saying, yeah, man, jazz.
There's a poem that I talk about in the teaching poetry and creative writing workshop, and I have a lesson in there. Amanda Gorman wrote this really cool poem. It's called Earthrise. Mm-hmm. And she's writing from a photograph. Like, so again, like we're blending these mediums together. So she was given a photograph that she had to write like a POV poem using that photograph. So the photograph is an image of the earth from the moon.
So
and
cool.
So I think about stuff like that and how cool it is to like this also gives you this kind of possible climate change conversation can get started. Ooh. Here. I hear a little bit of Greta in this unit potentially. There's a lot here. There's also a lot of, you know, California. I think about, I don't know how you live there. I feel like you guys are always, it's always being destroyed all the time. Nature is trying to kill every single one of you.
If you're a longtime listener, you can hear that the weather and natural disasters in California are a frequent topic of our conversation, both on the air and just
in our friendship. They worry me.
Bro, there are no tornado sirens here. Are there them where you are? I don't understand other parts of the country. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't have that here. We might fall into the ocean.
I mean, there's that.
But I won't.
Or burn alive, or I mean, flood to death.
I won't be going to Oz any day soon. You know, actually, maybe that would be a plus. Okay, that was. I've proven myself wrong. Fine. Moving on.
I will go to Oz.
I will love to go over the rainbow right now, in fact.
Anyway, moral of this story is if like you could apply this to other things, and like you've probably read other EQs that I've written, like I've written one about like Gothic lit and like the human condition, like that also could be an EQ for like you could just do Gothic poetry.
For sure.
Like, or like, don't be like afraid to like lean into the genre.
Dickinson, Poe, and other Gothic story, right? Like you can just like pull it all together. Oh my gosh, it's so much fun.
Yeah. So like if you're writing your own, don't be afraid. Like go for the genre. Like let that carry you, because that's a really cohesive way to like it's going to make your unit feel so cohesive and quickly. You don't have to really stretch it too far. So
it's cohesive without too much effort from you. You know how sometimes when you're trying to connect, like I've had the ones where it's kind of a stretch or I haven't really thought it all the way through, and then I find myself like making kind of connections and hoping that the kids follow me. A good question does the work for you.
It's not the end of the world if it is a stretch, but
it is. No, it's not. But that's that idea of refining and refining over time. The more that you teach things with an essential question, the more that you'll refine it and the more experience you have with it and the less stretching you'll have to do. Like right now, I'm about to, at the time that we're recording tomorrow, I'm starting a unit where we're looking at the Crucible. And this American Lit course, the EQs build on each other the way that they should, because I've taught it so many times and I love the way that it builds. And I just keep adding to it. Like, are we going to be talking about the Barbie movie and Mean Girls when we're looking at the Crucible? You 100%. Bet your sweet gumdrop buttons we are. Yeah. And because the essential question talks about leaders and how much influence leaders have over our decision-making. Boom.
Ding.
Speaking of rhetoric and rhetorical analysis and our favorite way to look at poetry, which is picking apart the argument, the third essential question I think is the most easily applicable to any course.
Yeah, I think so too. I wanted to write this without using the word language or the phrase power of language. Like I really
power
am trying to avoid
words.
It. Yes. It's annoying. No, and I don't like it. So I don't really want to share this with anybody because it's not what? Where I want it to be, but
well,
I'm being
too bad,
vulnerable.
We already
here.
Started recording, so well, you better get it going.
Volunteer as tribute to be vulnerable. I'll be the first one to be vulnerable. And this one was again coming from not necessarily a genre of poetry, but like I was thinking about a collection of poetry, and I've had, and I also do like if I'm going to do a poetry exclusive unit, they're very short. So this EQ doesn't have to live for that long. So that's another thing you can think about. Like, even if it feels super niche or not, it doesn't have to be a forever unit. Like a poetry unit for me could be 2 weeks. That's like 10 lessons in and out.
Yeah.
And that's if I really need to like teach something very specific, whether it's a skill or a movement or something. This question is in the works. Okay. To what extent is the power of language capable of challenging a set of beliefs? Protest poetry is what I have in mind.
It's resistance poetry, right? Like it's resistance poetry. Acts of resistance. Yes.
Yes. And this totally works for a rhetorical analysis unit. This works for a whole lot of other things. I think it's uniquely special to only do it with, like, it would be very challenging for students, I think, to only do it with poetry and to really think, are these poems or these TikTok videos or these short form, very condensed language experiences, are these capable? I used to ask a question about hashtags and like, is a hashtag really worth it, right? Is it going to do anything? Hashtags as an idea don't really hold up to that same, you know, anymore. But that's the idea, right? Can we all get riled up in these little tiny ways? And is that going to have an impact or an effect on actually creating change?
Or is it just going to like alter a mood for a day and then go back? Yeah.
Yeah. And I did take away like creating change actually from this question. I wrote challenging a set of beliefs because creating change is very hard for students to measure.
It is. It is.
With their limited experience.
I could see where, to what extent does language create real change or have the power to create real change or something like that going really well in a resistance unit that I've gotten like my ethnic literature course. But so you're being silly because what you have here is actually pretty good. You just don't like the idea of the phrase power of language is cliche.
Yeah.
But the kids don't know that it's cliche.
I know. Maybe it's because I hear it too much.
Yeah. The kids are new to the world. So like they don't know yet. So this would actually, the reason it's cliche is because it's accessible. So I think the reason you don't like it is why it should be used.
It's not corny.
Well, they don't know that it's corny. They're not baked all the way.
I mean, I know. Okay. Well, either way, I think the idea is there. And I really just wanted to give three.
Yeah.
Not just three EQs, but like three different ways for you to just start learning how to formulate your own EQs. I have a masterclass on writing essential questions. It's really a very like beginner course that I will link in the show notes. But I hope that this episode inspired you to, I don't know, just like reconsider the potential of your units. I mean, not every unit has to be novel or lit circle or choice. Like there can be kind of these really cool in-between units that have really just juicy questions and a bunch of text that people talk about and think about and you write about, and then you move on. Like I think those kinds of in-betweeny units are so important in the course of the year, because going novel after novel after novel after novel can kind of kill the momentum of the year. These are great to spark that curiosity again and get conversation going.
Just a little palate cleanse. We call these the palate cleanse mini units. I just call them mini units because that's what they are. Or sometimes for me, the mini units are the intro. Like I'll teach, you know, an introduction into something even bigger in like a week. That's a mini unit and it's self-contained.
Well, I like that. I like that each of these EQs, I think that the summative that follows absolutely could be one of two things or two of two things. Mm-hmm. It could be students writing their own piece and then explaining what they did in order to be effective, right? Like this protest piece, you know, I harnessed the power of parallel structure because I noticed in this piece, the parallel structure was really, it did this and this and this. And, you know, I used, you know, they can talk about what they've used. They can be intentional about their creative writing. They can also choose a piece of their own to analyze and talk about what makes it effective or what makes it ineffective of challenging a set of beliefs or influencing yourself in nature or whatever. But those summatives are pretty clean, I feel like, at the end of those EQs.
Yeah, I love it. All right, friends. We hope that you give these a little try. And if you actually stuck with us and are not an ELA teacher, like, congratulations. But do you see, we're talking about how to explore inquiry through a question that drives, you know, all of the discussion, all of the text, all of everything in any given unit or in any given course. Just hearing us talk about it in different scenarios and like through different lights and different lenses is just, I find it very helpful for me when I'm hearing other people talk about their curriculum, which is why we do this. Let us know what questions you have. We have a link on bravenewteaching.com if you want to leave us a voicemail to like ask us some questions or anything like that. We do Q&As mostly on our membership podcast, Happy Hour. So if that is something that you would like to, you know, join us for, get a little bit deeper into this kind of stuff, come on in. The water's fine. We love it here.
It is, actually.
Yes, absolutely. We hope you have a brilliant week at school. You get to enjoy both the natural world and the linguistic one. And thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time.
Thanks again for listening to Brave New Teaching.
We'd love to keep the conversation going over on Instagram.
And while you're there, check out the links in our bio for the most up-to-date events going on in the Brave New Teaching community.
Thanks for being here and have a great week at school.